Today's program is brought to you by Michter's Distillery. Visit michters.com to find out how their taste is everything, cost be damned attitude is creating some of the finest whiskeys available.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I am your host, Joe Campanelli, and I am very excited for today's show. I have a good friend in the studio today. But before we get started, I do want to let you know that if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to listen to any of our past episodes on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes, and where you can also subscribe to the show going forward. As I said, I am excited. I have a friend in the studio today, someone who produces beautiful wines that we are super proud to serve at our restaurants. We've served them at all of our restaurants for over 8 years now. We have Alicia Lini from Lini 910 in Lambrusco. Welcome to In the Drink.
Thank you, Joe. Nice to have you. Thank you.
So about 5 years ago, you celebrated the 100-year anniversary of your family's winery.
It was a century. Yeah, so it was my great-grandfather that started the business, and then my grandfather, the generation of my dad, my uncle, and my aunt, and me and my cousin. Today, we are working around the world, try to divulgate and promote that exists high quality Lambrusco. Yes.
Tell us about that. I mean, I know because I've visited and know you well, but the history, what have been the major changes in your family's winery?
It just changed the external perception. So probably we made the same quality even years and years ago, but the market was not ready to absorb a certain level. And then the market changed because the taste in general around the world just was more open-minded about sparkling, easy, simple wine. We don't pretend to produce complex wine. We make through our simplicity our strength. But yes, we succeed in a way. So there is a lot of things to do, but we are,
I think
well.
So. And, I think that maybe when you first started coming to New York, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, you were very young, I was very young.
I was very young. You still are very young. I don't know if I. I feel like that it was a time where you maybe had to convince people to drink Lambrusco, that Lambrusco no,
even,
should
even
be considered.
To try and say, yeah, you will be surprised. Even the wine was really welcome. I can say that American has been always welcome with our brand, very open-minded and very open to try and to experience. And they think America has this unique characteristic that you have an encyclopedic mind. You want to know something, you want to know everything about this. So the idea years and years ago was not to come here and try to sell our wine and to sell our Lambrusco, but just create a kind of culture about high quality Lambrusco and give some instruments to the final customer and hopefully put the final customer in the condition to choose our quality, not to sell our quality.
And maybe that's because our winemaking history here in America is so short and so interrupted, right? Whereas certainly in your area, there's evidence from ancient Roman or maybe Etruscan times, so thousands of years of winemaking. But here, we're new and we're open and we want to try new things.
Yeah, yeah. It's important to give something true. I do not lie. Nobody, do you understand? My dad always says that today is not difficult to find good wines. It's difficult to find authentic wines. And our success is based upon this authenticity. And when people get this, they, you know, want to experience again and again and again because they are happy to taste and to experience authenticity.
How does someone achieve authenticity with wine?
What do you mean?
What separates an authentic wine from an inauthentic wine?
You can obtain Lambrusco specifically for my typology in a week of fermentation. We invest more than 3 or 4 months at least for our entry-level product. Mm-hmm. The difference between the first and the second product is the one is a good drinks. The second one is a good wine. Cioè, Lambrusco is like, in a way, like a pizza. There is nothing better than a very good pizza, and there is nothing worse than a very bad pizza. And Lambrusco is very similar to this in its own simplicity.
And pizza is also simple as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly.
Just a couple of ingredients.
Exactly.
Interesting. You know, one of the wines that the wine that we first were introduced to from yours, it was I remember before we opened Del Anima, I had a tasting with our rep from Domenico Valentino, Michelle Flournoy. And if you're listening, thank you for introducing me to Alicia's wines. But she tasted it for me blind, and I knew at that time that I didn't want to have Prosecco on our list, and not because I hate Prosecco, but because I wanted
to be different
to introduce. And it was your Lambrusco Bianco, which I thought was thrilling. I thought it was just
amazing.
Delicious.
It's very simple again, but very, you know, we want to reach my dad want to achieve the drinkability first. He always says, I'm not a wine taster, I'm a drinker in a way. So I have to enjoy, you know, wine and drink wine. And Lambrusco Bianco give you this opportunity.
Yes. What's the history of the Lambrusco Bianco? Is that something that's been made for a very long time?
In my family, we experienced this because we were very passionate about champagne. And we past generation realized that champagne was a result. It was Blanc de Noir. So we try to produce the same things with the Lambrusco. So there is no skin contact from the beginning because it's the skin that gives the color to wine. So there is no skin contact, and then we obtain Lambrusco Bianco. Yeah, it's more complex in a way because there is an operation added from the beginning. Yeah,
It adds some complexity. It's certainly more complex than most Prosecco that's out there.
Joe, today again there are fantastic Prosecco and fantastic Lambrusco and fantastic Barolo. This is what communication has started to communicate in a way, like press, and there is no top wine and bad wine, but in every typology you can choose top, middle, and bad product. So you can find everything.
Yeah, but it is, you know, driving through your area and driving past some of the very large wineries. I've never seen wineries on that scale before. Like when you pass by, I'll leave them nameless, but the very large ones where it looks like some sort of factory, like an industrial complex, and you're like, oh wait, that's a winery name.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a limit to the size that you can be and still make authentic or high quality wine?
I think that dimension is not necessarily compromise in a negative way the final wine. And of course that if you are small, you can concentrate more on your quality probably, but it's not necessary as a consequence. No, I don't think so. It's there are huge companies that produce top wine, and there are small artisans that the quality is not that good.
It's sometimes jarring to see like that the most enormous winery, like, whoa, that's insane.
I get your point. No, I get your point. And we are very small, do you understand? But and we produce sparkling wine, which is different when you produce teal wine. You need more technologies, big investments anyway, even if you are small. So I understand your point, but it's not big equal bad and small equal good. It's not that simple. Yeah.
So do you find that outside of the United States, other people are appreciating high quality Lambrusco?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. In the past 5 years, we saw market like Canadian market, Australian market, Mexico, that they start to realize that a good glass of Lambrusco, it's a good experience to have it. Yeah.
And do people understand the sub-varieties of the Lambrusco grapes and the regions? And
they start now. When I introduce a big family of Lambrusco, Casparossa, Sorbara, Salamino, they start to say, hey, hang on, how many kind of Lambrusco exist? And I say, yes, many. And every single varieties give something different to a wine like a Lambrusco. Yeah.
Do you think that's important for people to understand the varieties of the grapes? Or with something like Lambrusco, maybe especially like an entry-level one, is it more just about, you know, enjoying it and knocking it back?
It's important to know what there is inside, not just a glass of Lambrusco in general. You know, this is a part of our personal culture and is good to know. And I think it's correct. my dad always says that if you ask to a glass of Lambrusco what there is inside, the glass doesn't answer you. So it's the producer ethics that makes the difference in this case. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you think Lambrusco fits into the culture and the daily life of people in your region? Is this is it the everyday kind of wine at the dinner table?
It's a very food friendly. We come from a region where the food is really rich. We produce Parmigiano Reggiano, tortellini, lasagna. Mm-hmm. Everything is really rich. So we need this light wine in order to balance out what we are drinking, what we are eating. But at the same time, I have to tell you this, that when you produce something very qualitative, balanced, and in a way, in our simplicity, something elegant, you produce something that is really, really versatile. Really versatile. In fact, you can enjoy our Lambrusco with a risotto, with a sandwich, with a good salad, with a bruschetta, with a fish, and with some, you know, even with the vegetables menu. So, yeah. And you drink 11 vol. So it's something which is light and easy.
11 degrees alcohol.
Yeah.
I think that's the way that people are trying
to don't realize
drink.
That they finish a bottle by themselves and they are happy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You feel better if you drink a bottle of 11 degree alcohol than I think two glasses of 14 or 15.
Exactly. And this is the reason why you open so many of my bottles.
It's true. We moved through so many of them. And then when you introduced the Metodo Classico line, which are absolutely beautiful, just beautiful wines. How is that received? Did the people locally, because there really aren't too many people who are growing.
Metodo Classico in my family is a part of passion. Mm-hmm. Was the generation from my grandfather that start to experience this, and we never stop it in a way. It is a very artisan product. We still make the remouage manually, the degorgement manually. So it's a passion product. And it's a part of our history and our culture. Something exceptional that we produce this with Pinot Noir 100% and different millésimés, 2004, 2005, 2007, 9, 10. And we produce also a Metodo Classico with the Lambrusco grapes. This is something very exceptional.
I love this. Yeah. I love this. It has to be in some way a passion project because of how long it takes to age. I know you have...
Consider that now into the market we have the millésimé 2004. So last year, Wine Spectator invited us and insert Lini 1910 in the best 110 cantina 100 cantina in a Italian cantina, and they priced this millesime 2004, and it was a very romantic story. Wine Spectator priced that product that was put in away 10 years before. And 10 years before, probably nobody even talked about high-quality Lambrusco. And we had, as a family, the courage to put away that kind of product. And Joe, if you produce something that is really qualitative, you add something to your sector, to your typology, to your environment. But if not, you are just a fanatic. Do you understand? So this was that risk that my family and my dad as enologists took.
Well, I have to say that, you know, your wines have definitely introduced a lot of New Yorkers, or at least West Villagers, through our restaurants to, you know, to quality Lambrusco. And thank you for that. But on that note, we're just going to take a very quick break. We'll be back with more of Alicia Lini from Lini 910 Lambrusco right after this.
And the break music provided courtesy of Keto. We will be right back on In the Drink.
Cider Week helps to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
And for more information, visit ciderweeknyc.com.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate that. We actually are participating in Cider Week at all of our restaurants at La Picho, Del Anima, Anfora, Lartuzzi. We'll have several ciders by the glass and even some ciders on tap. We love Cider Week, so it's exciting. We are back with Alicia Lini from Lini 910 Lambrusco here in the studio with us today. Welcome back, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
As we, you know, we were talking before about the rich food and the culture of the area, are people now also appreciating the higher end Lambrusco? Because you make a few different lines. We spoke about the Metodo Classico, or in the area, is it people really still think of Lambrusco as a very everyday and not a special product?
Both. Mm-hmm. There is a part of consumer that consider Lambrusco everyday life wine, and for us it's like this. And then there is a more sophisticated consumer that want to experience something more. The wine in general is a long trip. So is you experience wine with the simplicity, with aromatic wines, and then you go to still important woody product, and then you experience Riesling, and then you go to Bordeaux and Pinot Noir from Borgogna and Champagne. So it's a long trip. And
we all come back to Lambrusco.
Yes,
the end.
Exactly. Yeah, the simplicity.
Because there's just a pure taste. Joy level when it comes to Lambrusco. It's something that is, it's just so much fun to drink.
Exactly. You are right. Lambrusco is fun is really funny product. It's a really funny wine. I remember that we were having a kind of a wine tasting and everybody were laughing. So a manager close to me say, "Do you realize this?" I say, "What?" I say, "Everybody are really, really happy." And it's true. It changes energy when you drink Lambrusco.
It's true. I mean, if you were going to drink some Super Tuscans or something like that, it would be more serious and somber. Maybe it would be joyful in some way.
It just help you more, like a meditation, probably.
It's something about the bubbles and the just fresh, accessible fruit. That it's just one of the most joyful.
And also it's a product that opened the young people mind. To someone that is not used to drink wine, they can start with this fruity, easy and funny in a way. And if you are able to give also quality, that is the top.
That's great.
It's great, yeah.
What are the main issues today in Lambrusco? When you speak with your friends who also make wine, is there something that is pressing that everyone's discussing these days?
No, years and years ago, probably Lambrusco was not even considered a wine. Today, we just switch the market, and we have the possibility to arrive first.
So it must be an exciting time.
Yes, it is.
What do you think is the future? What do you think? Where is Lambrusco going? If it's already accepted as a high quality wine.
Joe, it's difficult to talk about Lambrusco in general
because
you said before there are massive quantities.
Correct.
So I can talk about our focus and our ambition. We just want to grow in a very constant way and give the opportunity to people to experience high-quality Lambrusco and give something to them in term of instruments. So if I put you in the position to learn and to experience something positive, then hopefully you will choose Lini 1910 because you trust our authenticity and our quality. This is, we don't want to create nothing exceptional. We want to just optimize our right angle, like for generation, a century to defend, because we want to defend this history with a good focus on the future, but in our authenticity. This is what we expect from our family business.
I know you have a few little ones. Will there be a fifth generation?
Well, we serve our wine on the table. They say, "Oh, why? No, I cannot smell it." And I say, "No, you are going to be the fifth generation. You cannot." Yeah, no. Hopefully, they will be free to do what they want. So yeah. I've been free to join the cantina and was a very liberal decision to be a part of this project. So my daughters will be free to do what they prefer and they love it. So,
and what projects are you working on right now? You said before we started that this is an exciting time for you and you're doing some work, but
the market is growing a lot and we receive so many appreciation and so we are really. When I come to this market, I don't forget to visit the people that every day work with our wine. And something very important, that people work with our wine bottle by bottle. And so you cannot focus on the containers if you don't realize that containers, that quantities and that distribution and that communication is made bottle by bottle. And that means that we arrive in every houses, in every family, in every context, every day with just one bottle each time. So this is important to really consider who enjoy our wine and support us. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your plan for while you're in New York?
Today I will be in Connecticut at yesterday, and then I will be for a couple of days in New York, wine class, a dinner in Brooklyn, and I will form someone in a couple of restaurants, visit our best 20 customer in New York, Manhattan, and back home.
You're visiting 20 customers in
Our best 20 customer in we are really well distributed. We are many, many accounts, so in New York. And I have the chance to visit
So it sounds like you're working very hard when you're here.
Yeah.
It's not a vacation.
No. It's not. But New York has a special energy, so you find your resource from this city, which is amazing.
And the wine class, is that something that's open to the public?
No, this is for restaurant staff. Yeah, for staff. Yeah, but we have to think about. Also for public as our school from the beginning.
Maybe next time we should do something for the public.
Yeah, should be perfect.
And how many years have you worked with Domenico Valentino?
It's more than 8 now, so since the beginning, and we're doing well, we're doing very well.
It's a great company.
We won our challenge, and it was at that time was not a difficult challenge, but it was an impossible challenge, and to create and to repropose to the final consumer and to the press that a high quality Lambrusco exists was not that easy. So
I feel like 5-6 years ago there were many articles that came out at the same time that said you don't think about Lambrusco, but Lambrusco is great. And now those articles have kind of stopped, and people aren't writing about it
because
as much.
We were able to reinforce this image, and people today doesn't need anymore. They know it's a part of in every wine project. There is a good Lambrusco in, and this is really, really important. And we have been, in a way, a little ambassador for our territory and our Lambrusco. And so you have to travel and go around like a gypsy, but in the end, the satisfaction is really, really big. So
I think I know the answer to this because we've spoken about it before, but you have, done the Metodo Classico in white and rosé and red, and you make Lambrusco in the more traditional method, and also in white and rosé and red. You experiment and you try out many, many different things. Have you ever tried like a Metodo Antico or like an ambient yeast?
With the Pinot Noir, but not with with the Lambrusco. We have on our portfolio a Metodo Antico.
You do right now?
Yes, but white, and it's amazing. And you are right. Experimentation and research is still one of the most, not just important, but also expensive things to do it. And I'm really proud to say that we never stopped to make this research and an internal research. And today it's not that obvious, because today there are so many needs to focus. Mm-hmm. It's marketing, communication, image. There are, international fair, press. So my dad always says that, remember that our big job is still inside the bottle and not outside the bottle. Yeah.
And tell us about when you're doing the experiments, especially with this Metodo Antico, which I'm very interested in. I think that
the Metodo Antico just top the remuage around the 26th and 27th days instead to the 32 as always, and inside just remain this residual, and the wine is not completely clean, so we want to reach a positively an imperfection.
Added yeast to it, or it's the natural yeast?
Yes. You have to try a bottle. I cannot I cannot describe you so much this wine, because it's an experience to try.
You have to do it with Lambrusco.
It's fantastic with Pinot Noir, because you also see the sediments.
Correct. Okay.
Remember and consider that Lambrusco born to clean your mouth up after a reach. So you don't really enjoy a Lambrusco where you have the sensation that you drink and eat at the same time, in a way, because... But I will ask to my dad if he can try a Metodo Antico, Lambrusco Metodo Antico. I know that you're excited about it. I know you.
I just love your wines, and in my head, it sounds like it would be so good. Yeah. But I guess don't go changing all of your production just for me, because we couldn't buy it all.
No. We are very... our strength has been to be very traditional, respect the tradition, but very open-minded. This is the reason why we constantly make this internal research to improve ourselves, to optimize the critics that we receive in order to do always better and to do... No, it's not just... today, to be innovative, you can confuse the innovation with the marketing project. No. To be innovative means also to study and to concentrate and to research and to see and to improve. This is also a part of innovation.
Yeah. Well, I want to congratulate you on the great work that you and your family have been doing. It makes my job as someone who opens bottles and pours them for a living very easy.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. And I really encourage you, if you have not tried Alini 910 Lambrusco, to please go try them. They are just fantastic, and especially the entry-level Lambrusca and the Metodo Classico is something that is very special, and it's not an every night wine, but it is a beautiful, special example of your hard work. So thank you so much.
No, thank you, Joe, and I will bring at home all these compliments, because I'm a part of a big team that work hard for this. So this is a part of satisfaction that I have to share with all my family. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much to our sponsor, Michter's, and thanks to Jack Inslee and Joy Morales, our producer. You guys are awesome. Thanks for putting this show together every week. You guys are the best. Thanks again. This
Enjoy
has been
Lambrusco.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.